that y'all that were here last time, we really got into some stuff. And we're going to go back into it because some of you weren't here. Some of you are really beginning to get a good, defendable, dependable rapture theology. Now, here's what's happened. I've been asking y'all, what is the church? Okay, what is the church?
Born again believers.
It's a body of born again believers, right?
Yes,
it's
yes.
A body of born again believers. Okay, we agree on that. Now, let me ask you this. You pre-trippers. You pre-trippers, huh?
Nothing. I was messing with Candace. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Now all you pre-trippers in here, let me ask you this. And there's a lot of difference of opinion on this, but trust me, there shouldn't be any. There should not be any difference of opinion on this. Are there going to be people born again after the rapture?
No.
Are there people going to be born again after the rapture?
No. Y'all don't think so?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Why would you say that it won't be?
Okay, I'll tell you why. You just told me what the church was.
Mm-hmm. Born again
believers. It's a body of born-again believers. Here's the problem. If there is a body of born-again believers on earth at any point in time, it is the church. So if after the rapture takes place that you find more born-again people on earth, the church is still here.
Right.
It ain't gone anywhere because that's what the church is. It's born-again believers. So it's a theological impossibility for the church to be gone.
To be raptured.
And still here.
There will be people saved.
There will be where now?
People saved.
People say,
like they did in the Old Testament.
Yes.
They will not be born again.
They won't be born again. That's,
thank you. I'll take that.
That's right. That's right. That doesn't mean that they're all going to be.
They'll be believers.
There will be believers.
There you go, believers.
There will be believers.
Right.
But the consequences of accepting Christ as your Savior
after
the rapture are much different than they are today. Because when that happens today, you become a new creature.
Yes.
That's right.
You are born again.
Uh-huh.
Your spirit is reborn.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a new creature. After the rapture, you can still believe in Jesus, but you will not be born again. You will not be a new creature. If you were, you would be the church. And the church could never leave. It couldn't get out of here.
And the church daily is such a word.
That's right. That's right. You see, it's theologically impossible to have the church gone and to have born-again believers here. Because that's what born-again believers are. That's what they're the church. And that's what the church is. It's born-again believers. So if that's the case, you're just post-trib. That's all. You're just a post-tribber. You're just a closet post-tribber. And you just need to own up to it and say, yeah, I'm post-trib. I believe we're going to be here till the bitter end. The church ain't going anywhere. No. So if you want to take that position, then just go for it. But do not come out of this class talking out of both sides of your mouth. And saying, on the one hand, I believe in a pre-trib rapture, but on the other hand, I believe people are going to be born again during the Great Tribulation. That's not possible. Otherwise, the church would still be here, and it wouldn't be pre-trib. It's just not possible.
You have to use the right terminology and understand
the. You've got to understand the consequences of what you mean when you say the church is leaving. If it really leaves, then there's not going to be anybody here.
Yeah.
It won't be here.
Right.
We'll be up there. We won't be here.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're here, then we're still here, and we're looking at a post-trib rapture.
Either we're here or not. Either we're here or not.
Either we're here or we're not. That's right. The church is either here or it's not here. Now, why won't you be born again? Why won't you be born again?
Well, the Holy Ghost will be here in a different manner, and the Holy Ghost is what creates the new spirit. It's the one that does the work in us.
The dispensation, the grace dispensation, that's what the grace dispensation is. That's right. This is where we're at. This is the dispensation. That is the grace dispensation is the Holy Ghost dispensation.
Mm-hmm.
When the Holy Ghost is going to leave, or the if you prefer to say it, the Comforter will leave. The Comforter is going to leave. The Comforter came on Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the Comforter is, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father. After I'm gone, he will send you another Comforter. The Comforter was not here when he said that. He said, I was...
The Holy Ghost was here.
That's right. The Holy Ghost was here. But the Comforter was not.
Different role for the Holy Ghost.
That is a different role for the Holy Ghost.
It is.
It's a different role. That's why there won't be any born-again people here. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's look at that real quick. It says it, and this is one of our favorites. We pre-trippers, we love this one. Second Thessalonians 2:6, for he says, and now you know what withholdeth, or in other words, what holds back the mystery of iniquity, that he, that is the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now hinders or restrains will hinder until he's taken out of the way. Until he is taken out of the way. He who now hinders will hinder until he's taken out of the way. The hinderer is a who and a what. The who is the Comforter. And the what is the church. We are hindering the Antichrist. We are hindering the mystery of iniquity. And it cannot come to the full until the end.
That's all Brother Yanny was preaching yesterday.
That's right.
He touched on it.
That is right. He touched on that yesterday. That's exactly right. That is exactly right. It's like the devil is saying, I wish these guys would hurry up and leave. Because I got things to do, you know. That's right. And as long as the church is here and the Comforter is here and the Holy Ghost is here, he cannot come into being like he. He cannot appear as the Antichrist. He cannot do it. We're holding him back. All right. And so the church and the Holy Ghost are going to go. Now also you might think, well, you might think, there's no real role for the Comforter during the Great Tribulation.
No.
It's a day of swatting, not comforting.
That's right. It is a day of vengeance, not the acceptable year of the Lord, which is where we're at right now.
Yeah.
We're in the acceptable year of the Lord. There is the Great Tribulation is the day of his vengeance.
Yeah.
It is not the time for the Comforter. The Comforter is here now. And the Comforter is for the church, and the church is for the Comforter. We will be together always, Jesus said. He will be with you always. Because why? When we go, the Comforter goes. Amen. When the Comforter goes, we go. When we go, the Comforter goes. And during the Great Tribulation, the Comforter will not be here, neither will we.
Yeah. And the words is the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Yes, praise God.
Yes, sweet.
So there are great consequences. You know, the end times are peculiar in this, that all you got to do is just tweak one little thing, and it affects everything.
Oh, yes.
Then you got to do what your GPS system says all the time. Recalculate. You missed the street. Recalculating. You tweak just one little thing on the end times, and then you got to recalculate. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I have recalculated my thinking on the end times and put things, you know, in trying to get things moved back around and put them in a different, you know, and get them all in their all in a row. But you have to do that, and it's healthy to do that. It is not healthy to get an opinion on this set and never entertain any inspiration or revelation on this, and that, you know, so that you just never change your mind. That is not healthy. As you grow in revelation, you're going to have to recalculate. You've got to adjust your vision. Your vision needs to be constantly adjusted with regard to the end times. Always. Because, and Joanne and I really got into something here the other day, and this is simple, it's so simple, but I never had thought about it before. But the Old Testament says Jehovah is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. Now he is, among other things, Jehovah is the Lord of hosts, which means the Lord of armies. Mm-hmm. The host is the host of armies. Okay. One thing that Jehovah is a great general. Yeah. He's a great general. He's a great military commander. Now, military commanders, help me out, brother, if I'm right. But military commanders don't generally lay out every detail of their battle plan before the enemy and let the enemy go through all, you know, of his maps and everything and see all of his battle plan. And he doesn't inform the enemy every little detail of what he's going to do and when he's going to do it. No, 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 no. He keeps some things in reserve. Now, here's the deal. There are details that God is keeping secret, that he must keep secret from the church. Why? Because we cannot keep our mouths shut. And if he told us, we'd write a book, or we'd put it on the internet, or I'd hold a class on how to teach a class. There you go. If it was revealed to me, every detail, you know, I'd blab it to the whole world. And look, if I blab it to the world, guess what? The devil knows about it. The devil would hear about it. He knows about it. He can't tell us everything. He's not going to tell us everything. Even if he wanted to, he's not going to do it. We cannot possibly know every little thing. No matter how much we want to, he cannot let us know every little thing. Because we'd blab it and the devil would find out.
Case in point. What he did to Peter and him. He just told him to go there and wait until you be endued with power. Then once Peter got there and the Holy Ghost came and all this good stuff, then he said, oh, this is that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
This is that. See, that's right. When it happens, then you know.
Yeah, he was like,
then you know.
Like, why didn't God tell me before?
Look, when we get, there are time sequences in the last 7 years, there are some time sequences there. Daniel says there are 1,260 days. In the last chapter of Daniel, he gives us three of them. He says there are 1,260 days for this, 1,290 days for that, and 1,335 days for this. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. What is that? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But guess what? When the time comes, you will know.
This is
amen. We can. That's right. You will know then. This is that. This is that.
This is that.
He cannot tell us every little detail because the devil would know it then.
Hides his power.
He hides his power. Yes. There is absolutely a scripture in Habakkuk that is a great scripture. Let's look at Habakkuk chapter 3. This is an end time scripture, and it's one of my favorites. Habakkuk 3 and 1, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. We're talking, he's giving us a battle map right here. This is a battle map right here, because these places are points on the map that we can locate, and this is an end time scripture, okay? His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. There was the hiding of his power. Satan himself has never really seen the full power of God. God has never yet let the devil see his full power. Satan thinks he's got a shot. He actually thinks he's got a shot. God has never let the devil see the full force of his power. The devil thinks he's got a shot. But guess what? He's not. He doesn't have a shot. But there is the hiding of his power. A great general does not tip his hand before the time until he has to. And this is a battle to reclaim the earth. That's what the end times, that's what it's all about. It's a redemption of the earth. It's a battle plan. It is a battle plan. Now, he's told us a lot of things, but he's told us those in very general terms. In general terms. And there's a lot of things, there's a lot of speculation going on, and that's okay. It's okay for us to speculate. You know, it's okay. As long as we know, stay within scriptural parameters. Let's don't get crazy. You know, let's don't get weird. But let's stay with it. And you're going to think that I've really gone way out of the parameters here a little bit. We talked about what we talked about last time.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so everything you do, everything you believe about the end times has great consequences. So if you're a pre-tribber, you don't believe that there are people going to be born again during the tribulation. Because you couldn't be pre-trib and believe that. You must be post-trib. Because if people are born again, the church is still here. And if they're still getting born again until Jesus returns, then the church never left. It's post-trib. It's just by definition, it's post-trib. You can't have it both ways. So either be pre-trib or be post-trib, but don't try to have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Okay. So, and once you think about that, I can quote you people that ought to know better, that are doing this, that are teaching this, that they're going to be born again. They profess to be pre-trib all the way, but they're teaching people are going to be born again during the tribulation. It's impossible. If it were possible, then we'd be post-trib. You see?
It'd just be bad till he came, then I'd be good.
You'd be post-trib then you're going to be here. The church will be here until Jesus returns. So let's be consistent, okay? And that's what I mean by having a dependable rapture theology. I want you all to have one.
Amen.
I want you all to know what you believe and why you believe it. And why you're pre-trib, that if you believe we're going to get out of here, you don't believe that anybody's going to be born again after you're gone. Ever. Mm-hmm. Not ever. It's over. Yeah. The grace dispensation is over. Yeah. It's done. Gone.
Yeah.
That means the two raptured witnesses are not born again, right? That means the 144,000 are not born again.
Tell me about 144,000. I haven't heard that yet.
I missed that. That's how we ended the last.
I heard it was good.
The Jews.
Get you some coffee.
All right. I'm. Will you get me? We might need to take a little break. Y'all can get some coffee.
Get you a cookie and get some coffee.
There you go.
Beat Candace. I got to beat Candace.
That's my
We're going to hunker down and get this.
Corky, get me a peanut butter cookie, honey.
So these teachers that teach that people will be born again after the rapture, are they claiming to be pre-trib?
I know some that absolutely. Yes, I could. Yes, I could give you chapter and verse, page, everything else.
Bless her heart.
But I'm not going to call names. But see me after class. Thank you, brother. I appreciate
it.
How long does a marriage
much supper last in additional
7 days.
We can bring the food to the table if y'all want. You can bring a whole box and just put it up here.
I don't eat anything. No.
Yeah, why not?
The marriage of the lamb, absolutely right.
Fish.
7 days, the traditional marriage ceremony. The traditional Hebrew marriage ceremony, 7 days. All right.
Too early.
Oh. Ooh, man. I decided. Man, those are good.
Who made cookies?
Walmart.
Oh, they good cooks over there.
So the people that are here during the Great Tribulation, that accept Christ, that turn to Christ, it's faith like it was with Abraham.
Sure.
Exactly.
Because I used to have trouble with people saying Abraham was saved. I thought he wasn't saved. Jesus hadn't come yet. Not saved, you know, but I always thought saved was born again, but saved ain't born again necessary.
Counted to him is right.
And you can't be born again after the rapture. Because that's the grace dispensation. The grace dispensation goes from Pentecost to the rapture.
Peanut butter, it is out of this world.
You're that peanut butter.
And that is a period of undetermined duration. That is the period that where the clock is stopped. We don't have a set time for it to begin to run. That's why Jesus said, pray that your flight not be in winter. Because if there was a set time for the rapture, then the time when they were supposed to flee would already be set, and it wouldn't do a nickel's worth of good to pray about something that was set in stone. And there are a lot of other scriptures that we've talked about why, you know, we don't have a set time. There's no set, there's no calendar up there on the wall of the temple up there in heaven with a date circle on it that says rapture.
Give me one of those chocolate chip things.
All right. That's right.
Okay, we're ready.
All right. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7.
Whoa, Nelly.
And begin in verse 1. If you got your Bibles, Revelation 7 and 1. After these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Say Manasseh.
Manasseh.
Think about that.
Manasseh.
Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribes of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. This catalog of the tribes of Israel is absolutely unique in Scripture. Because you never, never, never have one of Joseph's two sons by himself and Joseph. You either have Joseph and the other and his brothers, or you have Ephraim and Manasseh and no Joseph. This is the only time in the Bible where you really have a catalog of these tribes where you have Manasseh and Joseph and no Ephraim.
That's strange.
It is strange. You find one place in the Bible in the Old Testament. I'm going to get there. Now, have you ever, you know, and I said last time, This is the reason I don't have, this is the reason I don't have hardly any hair. It's because I'm pulling it all out. These guys are responsible. These 144,000 are responsible for me being bald headed. I pulled my hair out over the years trying to figure out where in the world God is going to find 12,000 of these righteous people from every one of the 12 tribes when most of those tribes had completely disappeared. Even when Jesus was here, they had disappeared. And you couldn't have even found 12,000, even in Jesus' day, you couldn't have done. And I was thinking about it, I was rolling around, you know, I was rolling around in the wee hours of the morning, one, you know. And I was worrying about this, and I was going over this, and I said, Lord, you know, there's only one, you can't find these people, you're going to have to just raise the dead. And it all of a sudden just hit me like a bolt of lightning. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Why not raise the dead? Why not? Now listen. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me talk about the two raptured witnesses. Okay? Who are they?
Probably Moses and Elijah.
Speculation.
Yeah, okay, right. Speculation. You know the speculation. The two combinations that usually come up is Enoch and Elijah. Mm-hmm. Everybody agrees Elijah's going to be one. Almost everybody. Mm-hmm. The other guy.
Not sure.
Not so sure. Mm-hmm. Glenn, you have a question? Okay. The other guy. Have you ever heard that it might be Moses?
Yeah.
I heard that because of the time he came back on the mountain.
That's right. And that is correct. Now I'm gonna mention a name. I don't do it very often, but I read from his book last
but
week.
He died.
I know. But Bob Yanion believes and teaches and wrote in his book that it's going to be Moses, and he's sure. He's sure. And you go on the internet and you Google these guys, and you're probably going to find out that the majority view is Moses.
Idiot.
Moses is the majority view. Little Jim and I have talked about it. He believes it's Moses.
Who do you believe it is?
I like Moses. I like Moses. But I had the problem. I had the problem in Mary had. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Moses died. He's dead. He's graveyard dead. The man's dead. He's been dead for thousands of years. The man's dead. He's dust. So how do you get Moses? Listen, people. If you can countenance for one moment the possibility that Moses might be one of these guys, then it ought not be strange to you to think that the 144,000 might be literally raised up from the dust from ages past.